Now, what I want to take us through in this month is for us to have a clear understanding of what it means for each one of us to live in the favor of God and how you and I can find favor with God. The key operative word there is find. Sometimes we assume that favor is something that we just need to have. But the Bible, as we look through the Bible, as we look to the lives of people who have journeyed with God, we find that there is kind of an exchange, a seeking and a desiring. And when people find God, they find favor with God. And when you have favor with God, you find favor with man. Many of us are seeking for favor because we want to be able to live our lives well, to live successfully, to do the things we want to achieve in our relationships, in our marriage, in our work, in our careers, and all our finances, all of those things. But what does it mean? And this is what Moses said in one of his interactions with God while he was interacting with him. And that's the verse that we have for this month. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12, it says, "And you said," Moses says to God, "and you said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." I'm going to read that again. What did Moses say? He said to God, "You have said, I know you by name." There is a personal relationship that God has with each one of us. He works that through a sense of intimacy and spiritual connectedness that we can have. And he says, "I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me," Moses says to God, "if you are pleased with me, if you are happy with how I'm living my life, if you are satisfied with how I am living for you, teach me your way. Show me the things that I need to do. How do I please you? How can I live my life so as I know that my life is pleasing to you? So I may know you." The reason for learning God's way is not that we find favor, is that we know God. And as a result of knowing God, we will have favor with God. Is that good? You know, so much of our faith expression, especially in this nation, is built on duty. In other words, there may not be no heart desire or wishfulness to do something, but you do it because it must be done. Much of our faith expression and our spirituality is duty, which is a good thing. It is good that at least we have that behavior that says, okay, there's certain things that I do simply out of duty. I don't like this aunt or uncle of mine, but it's duty, so I will honor them. I've got to put, it's my duty, because otherwise what will people think of me? Now, God doesn't call for us to have a relationship with Him that is based on duty. He calls for us to have a relationship with Him that is based on relationship. It's because you choose to, willfully, out of your desire to want to know Him. Millions of people all over this nation and in parts of the world will be sitting like you are Sunday morning, if they haven't started it yet, there. Some will be there because they want to be there. Some will be there because that's what we always do. I was reading this morning in the newspaper, they were trying to create this whole arena where we are becoming more educated. I thank God for that. The nation, they're considering us becoming more educated. But the educated people are questioning the existence of God. Does He exist? Is He real? And I read some of the young people that gave their reply, said, "Yes, you know, I went to the temple, or I went to church, or I did this simply because my parents made me do it. But then I realized, as I became more educated, that God is not real. He doesn't exist. And, you know, but I did what I did when I had to do it because out of a sense of duty, because I was with my parents, or because I had to conform to some social norm." But God doesn't look for us to conform to some social norm. He wants you to pursue Him. He wants you to desire a relationship with Him that comes from deep within you. And this is a year where you and I can experience the favor of God. And when we proclaim it and declare it, I know it comes through in people's lives.
Hallelujah.
You know, you will see unprecedented things happening in your life. Things that you don't deserve, things that you don't expect, things you think, my goodness, how come this is coming my way? And it'll be because of God's favor on your life. But how do you get to that place of positioning yourself for God's favor? How many of you love our dog, Coco?
Yeah.
She's a cute dog. She follows me everywhere. When I wake up, sometimes, you know, after I put the whole household to bed and I'm doing something, she will follow me out of the bedroom, and wherever I go, she will go. And in the morning, she expects something from me when I go to make my cup of tea in the kitchen, or I'm doing something in the kitchen. She's sitting there. She positions herself for a blessing. She sits there, head up, waiting for me. I'm making tea. It's got nothing to do with her biscuits or her treats, but she positions herself, waiting there. Trying to get my attention, trying to say to me, come on, come on, favor me. I know I don't deserve it. I know I had dinner last night and you only feed me once a day, but and that drawing in, that seeking after me as her master, eventually I kind of,
yes, you do.
She's so faithful, she's so good, she's so cute. Here's a biscuit for you. She doesn't deserve it. It's not good for her because she's putting on weight. But you know what? Because she's been pursuing me, I bless her. And God, our relationship with God is like that. When we pursue Him.
Hallelujah.
When we really seek after Him. And it's amazing the picture of worship that Jesus gave to people when He talked to them in the book of John. Was He said, worship like a dog. He said, I seek those who worship me in spirit and in truth. What He was really saying in Aramaic was, you know how dogs worship their master? That's how you are to worship God. God seeks those kind of worshipers. I know it's not a picture we like to see, but Jesus was illustrating that and saying the faithfulness, the loyalty that an animal bestows upon the one that they consider to be their master is the kind of faithfulness that we need to bestow and give unto God. Can you do that in your relationship this year? Are you prepared to do whatever it takes to please God, to live a life that is pleasing to Him?
Amen.
The best definition of the word favor is demonstrated delight. What is it? Demonstrated delight. The favor of God can be described as a tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. When we favor someone, we want to be with him. We want to be with that person. We are excited about them. We delight in them. We connect with them in ways that we normally wouldn't connect with somebody else. We usually favor people who also favor us. You stroke my back, I stroke yours. You know, there's a kind of a give and take. And that's kind of how we favor each other in our relationships. But God's favor is something different. In the same way, God shows favor to the ones who delight in Him, who choose to connect with Him, who choose to want to have a relationship with Him. I have known in this last year, people have said, you know what, we came to life, we just kind of never really understood our relationship with God, but we came to life and we've been learning from life how we can connect with God and how God has turned my life around. This is where I was, but this is where I am now. I mean, that is a testimony of people seeking after God and finding favor with God. God changes your circumstances. He changes your situation. He alters your bank account. He does all those things that you think could never be done. The favor of human beings received from God depends on His good pleasure and is often extended in response to prayer or righteous living. You know, there is what is called the base level of favor that we all experience, the grace of God, which we experience when we come into a relationship with Jesus. When we recognize that we are sinful people who have offended God and can never have a relationship with Him, and when we discover that Jesus can forgive us of all our sin, as simple as that, and we put our faith and trust in Him, we receive the saving, the salvation favor of God in our lives, where we don't deserve to be reconnected with God, where we don't deserve to have relationship with God, but because of what Jesus did for you and me, we find favor or grace with God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor."
Hallelujah.
Now is the day of salvation. I remember that day in my life. Well, I grew up in what would be considered to be a Christian home, but I had no understanding of what it meant to have a relationship with God Almighty. I had no understanding that my sin had offended Him, that the way that I lived my life as a young boy, 10 or 11, I mean, how much do you get up to by the time you're 10 and 11? But I recognized that whatever I did that I considered to be good was not good enough for God, until I discovered the unconditional, the unmerited love and favor of God upon my life that reconnected me with God again. And everything changed, because I now knew that I have a relationship that has been restored because of what Jesus did for me.
Right.
You see, what that decision that we make to connect with Christ and to find that new life, and sometimes called a new birth or being born again, is something that happens supernaturally, but it has an impact on us spiritually and physically. So I found favor when I was restored with Christ. I also discovered that I needed to be in right standing, not just with man, but with God. And I like what Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12 says. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." What does the word righteous mean? The word righteous is an old English word which simply means to be in right standing. So God says He blesses those that are in right standing with Him. So when I am in right standing with God, when my relationship with God is as it should be, as Jesus intended for it to be, then in my life, what is it? The Bible says you surround those people with
the shield of love.
Favor, or your shield of love, as with a shield. It is like a protective thing that God gives to us. So, favor, firstly, is the grace of God that is bestowed on us for salvation. But now, the favor for living your saved life, finding favor with God, living a life that is pleasing, now that you are saved, now that you have come into relationship with Jesus. We need to be in right standing with God. I'm going to break this down over these next few weeks. Favor comes upon us when we walk in humility.
Right.
Isaiah chapter 6 verse 2 says, "These are the ones I look on with favor." Which kind of ones? Those who are humble and contrite. Now, contrite again is a word we don't use, but who have a repentant heart. In other words, God's not saying, "I'm looking for you to be perfect." But if you have a contrite heart, a repentant attitude, in other words, that you recognize your weakness as a human, frail human being, you recognize the weaknesses of others, and that you are willing to repent and to correct and restore your life. "Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." Those three things are really important. One is that we are humble. Humility is not in how we dress up. You can only wear, you know, half a pair of pants and walk around and say, "Look how humble I am, I have no fancy clothes." That is not humility. Humility is an attitude of the heart. It is the direction to which your heart yields. And when we humble ourselves and we live repentant lives, in other words, people will upset us. Things will go wrong. We will get annoyed. We will get angry, but we don't hold on. We forgive and we live repentant, contrite lives. "And those who tremble at my word," who have a sense of awe of God's word. What does he say? "I will look upon you with favor." I mean, the things we chase after in today's world. As I was preparing, I've had this image constantly playing like a tape in my mind. It's the image of us chasing kites. How many of you chased kites, especially if you're a guy?
Yes.
It's January now, you'll see these kids bombing through traffic, not worried about the scooter, but they're after that kite in the sky and they're running, helter skelter, anyhow. Gotta get that kite, gotta get that kite. There's cars zooming, buses going, but they want to get that. Their whole focus is on that kite. I mean, what is the worth of that kite, please tell me? But they're prepared to risk their lives. They're prepared to give up everything just so they can get that kite that actually belongs to somebody else. It's a free-for-all. It's war up there in the skies. And once somebody cuts somebody, that's it, you're done. I mean, the sad stories of kids who get run over, who fall off balconies just because they're chasing a kite. You know, the things that we're prepared to put our lives at risk for material things that have no value at all or very little value. We're prepared to risk our lives for that. But for the things that really matter, I don't have time for that. I don't think it's right. I don't know if I'll get it. Come on, let's get our priorities right. Don't chase the wind, the Bible says. Solomon said, you know, chasing after things in this world is like chasing the wind. You can never catch it.
That's right.
But when you find God, I drive past Bandra quite often and there's a whole gully outside Lucky's restaurant that sells kites.
Yeah.
And right there, you see guys darting all over looking for kites. Guys, take $5 and go buy one. I mean, there's a whole kite factory, but they want to catch that kite. And that's like us. You know, God makes provision. He says, see, I've laid before you in the presence of my enemies.
Hallelujah.
You have prepared what?
A table,
a banquet table. And what are we doing? They're chasing after things all over. When right before the presence of my enemies,
hallelujah,
you have prepared a table for me. That's the favor. Remember banquet meals? When you go for weddings and you look forward to the banquet meals, eat as much as you want. Take home as much as you can in your belly. And you know, you see some people at banquet meals, the plate's about this big and they've stuffed it that high. And it's like, you can come back again.
As many times as you want.
But the belief is, what I want may not be there. Therefore, I better take it now, just in case there isn't enough for me. Some people have that belief. Some people just like a stuffed plate, that's fine. But you know, our relationship with God is, He set before us a banquet table. He favors us. And when we have that relationship, we don't have to seek for things everywhere else. We seek Him, and provision comes through our relationship with Him. When we walk in humility with a repentant spirit, and when we tremble at His word, favor comes when we keep God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, it says, my son, speaking also to the ladies, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, referring to the head, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and the sight of man. Sometimes we're so busy seeking after God's favor, we completely seeking God, man. You cannot just seek after God and not also be faithful in your relationships where God has placed you. Sometimes we are so faithful to God, we are so unfaithful with everybody else. Listen, that is not a balanced true relationship with God. If you are faithful in God, with God, you will also be faithful in your relationships with man. You with me? Some people are so spiritual, so high up in the heavens on the mountain, they couldn't care less what happens down here on earth. Our life with God is best expressed in our relationship with one another. The Bible says, if you are in right standing with God, then if you are walking in the light, it is evident because of how you deal with your brothers and sisters. But if you don't deal with your brothers and sisters in a way that God wants you to, it's like walking around in darkness. That's a paraphrase of 1 John chapter 1. So, it is important that we let love and faithfulness never leave you. You know, my dog is faithful. He will never leave her till the day she dies. She's faithful. And the Bible encourages us to wrap it around our neck. Interesting, around our neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, engrave it. Let it be part of who you are, your core value. Be faithful in your place of work. Be faithful in your relationships with your friends. Be faithful with your family. Love those people that are difficult to love. Extend grace to people. Because as you connect with God and find favor with God, you also find favor with man when you are faithful with human beings. Don't think you can just find favor with God and treat men and women however you want. Because that is not coming out of a relationship with God. That is coming out of a self-centered, I want whatever God gives to me, two hoots about you. And too much of Christianity has tried to survive that way. That is not the way of God. That is not the good news. That is not the gospel. It is about loving God and us expressing that love for God in our love for one another. Amen. Ask yourself the question, how can I be more faithful at my place of work? How can I be an expression of God's faithfulness and love in my relationships? Because as you do that, what you will find, as you are faithful with God, you are faithful with men, you will live in favor with God and in favor with men. There is this misnomer, as long as I please God, everything else will work out. No. If you're pleasing God, then you live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to men as well. You understand that? The two can never be separated because we are whole human beings.
Hallelujah.
It says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This year is the year of favor. Those who are favored of God know that God is with them and that nothing can happen to them apart from His good purpose. Many of us believe that if you're living in the favor of God, you need to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. When I look at the Bible, I find people who are completely entrenched in the favor of God, but went through tremendous hardships. I find people who were absolutely experiencing the favor of God, but were tried and tested. Because that is what the favor of God does for you. It's not just about having a comfortable life. God will seek to give favor to those that He can entrust it to. You with me?
That's true.
So you will be tried and tested. We know that we live in the favor of God, but do we have hard times? Yes. Do we have times of need? Yes. But that doesn't mean to say that God's favor is not on my life. Because He enables me in those difficult times to make it through, where I come to a place of experiencing His favor. Too much of understanding is, oh, God's favor is upon his life. Look how much money he has. Never mind, he's blackmailing everybody, stripping everybody half naked to get his wealth. But look how God is so favorable. No. And the favor of God rests both on those who have a relationship with God and those that don't. Because people who work hard also are experiencing. I'm going to talk about the providence of God later on. Are also experiencing God's favor in their lives. But for those of us that have a relationship with God, who know Jesus Christ, who are walking with Him, who are following with Him, you open up a whole new avenue of God's unmerited favor in your life. And that's where I want to take us to. So in addition to outward evidences, God's favor can be felt in the spirit. When we have the favor of God, we rest in the quiet confidence of knowing that all is well in our lives. I want to end with this chapter from Luke chapter 12, this reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 31 to 34. What I'm saying to do here is get you to relax. This is from the Message Bible. Not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how He works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom Himself. This was Jesus talking to His disciples and to the people that He was addressing. He says, don't chase after things. Don't try and be so preoccupied and trying to get, because when you find God, everything that you need is in Him. He says, be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt. I like that. Especially in today's world, where banks all over the UK and the America were going bust. Safe from embezzlers. A bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. What is the direction of your heart this year? What is it going to be? Are you going to choose to lean towards God? To seeking to find a relationship with Him? Establishing that relationship? Living a life that is pleasing to Him? And when He sees that, He bestows upon you His favor. Amen. You choose how you will live this year. In the way that you make your choices, in the priorities that you set for yourself, with your relationships, with your finances, with the workplace, with your ministry, with the things that God has entrusted you, how you live your life. You choose how you attract the favor of God. You with me? I'm not saying that you won't make it into heaven. I'm not talking about the saving grace of God. I'm talking about what is undeserving for us. Things that we do, that we get not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. How do we find the favor of God? We're going to uncover that in these next few weeks. And I tell you, if you begin to apply these principles to your life, you will see how God begins to open up doors that you thought were shut. How God begins to create opportunities that you thought were never there. It is amazing. We continually have seen that in our lives, where we have thought we have come up against a wall. We felt like there was no other way. God comes through. That is the favor of God upon our lives. Amen. Let's pray. The place where your treasure is a place you will most want to be and end up being. You make the choice in which direction you focus your priorities in this year. Focus them on God, in seeking after Him, in desiring the things of God, in seeking after His Word, in walking humbly, and you will find the favor of God in your life. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray in 2015, as we step into this new year, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that You would help us to be true God seekers. Lord, who would have the right attention in the right place. That we would not chase after the wind. That we would not let fear make choices and decisions for us. But faith and trust in You. Lord, even when sometimes it seems foolish, Lord, we will cease to never stop trusting in You. Lord, I pray for each one of us here today, as we share in communion, as we continue into this new year, that Your favor would be upon our lives, Lord, and that we would find the favor of God and experience that favor in our lives every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, Naomi and I and Kathleen and Alfred are going to be up. As you come to take communion on we're going to pray for you. And if you're not taking communion, that's fine, just come up. And we want to pray for you that in this year, you would experience and discover the joy of finding the favor of God. Amen. I want to pray for this year to be the most outstanding year that you will ever have. God bless you.